Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Split Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net, and we're glad you're listening to us because we are going to talk about presidential politics. You talk about rock cracking and people speaking and people saying it's time to come out and start running for president right here. Early 2015 and 2016, Iowa caucuses are about a year away, folks. Can you believe it? Soon it'll be under a year of a presidential race for the Republican nomination and the Democratic nomination will be getting cranked up. So to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics every week because we're going to give you some insights about this presidential race that you probably won't get anywhere else, including today. We're going to get into that into the second half of the show. On the first half of the show, we're going to be talking about what does a Republican Congress mean? What's going on? The Republicans won the Senate. Now they're in control of the House and the Senate. That means they're in control of Congress. And what legislation, what laws, our bills are passed to send to the president. So how are they doing in their first couple weeks? We're going to cover that in just a couple minutes. But before we get to that, let me tell you about something you may have read in the paper that is not about politics, but it's about peace. The Nobel Peace Prize went to none other than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. back in the early 1960s. And what about the Peace Prize? What's going on about his Peace Prize, his medal for all the work he done, his lifetime work up to that point, and just a few years before he was assassinated. And we celebrated the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King last week, and I celebrate that every year because he's such a man of strength and peace and stood his ground for peace and changed the world. What's going on with his medal that he won is that right now there's a fight for that honor of the Nobel Prize for Peace. There's a fight going on with his children. And one is Bernice King. And now he's had one daughter that has passed away. Then he has two sons. He had four children. And the two sons are suing the daughter because they want to sell his tattered, well-worn Bible and his medallion or that he got for the Nobel Peace Prize. Do you think it should be sold? Well, his daughter, Bernice, does not think it should be sold. And right now, it's in court. They are fighting over this. And the sons want to sell to a private collector the Nobel Peace Prize medallion and the tattered Bible. And that Bible was used, the last time it was seen, was on the second inauguration of President Barack Obama. He took the oath of office on that Bible. And as you know, just last month, I sat down, I had dinner with the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that's Alveda King. She's a friend of this show, a friend of mine. I asked her about it a while back. And she stood strong with her first cousin, with Bernice, the daughter of Martin Luther King, and said, it is true. These things shouldn't be sold. Some things don't have a price on them. And Bernice says that the Bible and the Peace Medallion was given by Dr. King to her mother, Coretta Scott King, and she's in charge her foundation, and the sons are in charge of their father's foundation. And so there's a dispute. And I think it's ironic that a family is disputing a peace prize, and they're fighting over it in court. And the reason I bring that up, because to honor such a man who changed America, he changed the world. And the King family, arguably, the King family, along with the Mandela family, are probably the two most famous families around the world, recognized around the world, the entire world, for their stand for peace and democracy and civil rights for all people. And so I was bringing this story up, not about politics, but about my friend Alveda. Such things should not have a price put on them. And I thought that was interesting here as we talk about rock splitting politics and things that have tensions and tear things apart in politics. And right here with the Nobel Peace Prize of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his family's fighting over that. So I hope all goes well. I hope they're not sold. There's not to be a price put on such. I brought that up so you would know something that's going on in the world that other people aren't listening to. And that's one reason you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Now, I'm going to play something. I told you we're going to talk about presidential politics and what the Republicans are doing right now in Congress. But there is an announcement a senator made. Well, let's play this clip. Now, I got something to tell you.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Well, that was a clip from the Eagles, Hotel California. Now, why would I play Hotel California? What's California been in the news about? Well, one of their senators, Barbara Boxer, has been there for years and years, decades when you include her congressional service and then her service in the United States Senate. But she said that she would not run again in 2016. So that means there's going to be an open seat for the United States Senate in the state of California. And do the Republicans have a chance? Absolutely not, most people say, and that is probably true. But we'll have to wait and see what the Democrats do. But it is it's interesting to see the jockeying for position for the United States Senate seat in the state of California, which is one of the most expensive places to try to run a campaign. So we will keep you posted right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics about what's going on for that open United States Senate seat in the state of California. Now, what are the Republicans doing now that they have power and control of the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives? Well, this week, Speaker of the House, John Boehner, and he got up to speak, but if he looked a little wearied, weary-eyed, there was a report. I don't know if you heard it or not, but there was a bartender where he was at a country club in his home state of Ohio, and the bartender was going to poison the Speaker of the House. Now, that's the second in line for the President of the United States. If something happened to the President and Vice President, he would be promoted to the presidency. And so someone was wanting to kill the Speaker of the House, or poison him, get rid of him, and was arrested. So now you know why Speaker John Boehner may look a little worried when he spoke. But here, listen to this clip as he stood in Speaker of the House, knowing that the Republicans were in charge of both houses. Take a listen to this.
Today I rise, and the House rises, to support and defend our Constitution. We do not take this action lightly, but simply, there is no alternative. This is not a dispute between the parties or even between the branches of our government. This executive overreach is an affront to the rule of law and to the Constitution itself. I appreciate all the efforts of those working to fix our broken immigration system, especially since I'm one of them. What we're dealing with is a president who has ignored the people, has ignored the Constitution, and even his own past statements. In fact, on at least 22 occasions, he said he did not have the authority to do what he has done.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, speaking from the well of the House, and I believe you could say he does not appreciate what President Barack Obama did when it came to immigration and making an executive order to automatically make over 5 million illegal aliens or undocumented aliens or what you want to call somebody's in the country without any legal papers. Well, he said what you did is an affront to the Constitution. And the House was going to take the power of the Constitution, and they were going to defend the Constitution. That's what Speaker of the House John Boehner was saying. But he wasn't the only one who had something to say about this. Our friend that we've had clips of him on the show before, the House member from South Carolina, a former prosecutor, Trey Gowdy. Guess what he said? Standing in the House of Representatives. Well, you don't have to guess. You can listen. Here he is, Representative Trey Gowdy, South Carolina.
Your Honor, Madam Speaker, President Obama announced one of the largest extra-constitutional power grabs ever by a chief executive. He declared unilaterally that almost 5 million undocumented aliens will receive deferred action under some newfangled definition of prosecutorial discretion, Madam Speaker. Not only that, not only escaping consequences, he has decided to bestow benefits such as work authorization and immigration benefits. This, Madam Speaker, despite the fact that the very same president over 20 different times said he lacked the power to do what he just did. And he repeatedly said he's not a king. Now, Madam Speaker, his position may have changed after the election, I hasten to add, but the Constitution has not. That document is clear, time-tested, and true, and it says that this body passes laws, and it is the responsibility of the chief executive, Madam Speaker, to make sure that those laws are faithfully enforced. If this president's unilateral, extra-constitutional acts are not stopped, Madam Speaker, future presidents will no doubt expand that power of the executive branch and threaten the constitutional equilibrium. But Madam Speaker, this is not a fight between Republicans and Democrats.
Whew, that's Trey Gowdy, and I think he's showing some passion that he doesn't like what the president is doing in stealing the constitutional powers of the United States House of Representatives. And I believe he is holding the president's feet to the fire, and he's saying it's time to stand up. And did you hear him at the end where he said it's not a Democrat or a Republican position? He said, no, this is about this body, the people's house, the United States House of Representatives. And that's why I like to hear the passion of Trey Gowdy. He didn't stop there. He got a little bit more. So let you listen to the next part, but listen to the very end, and that's when he sort of throws the knockout punch. Take a listen.
It's not even a fight. This is not a fight between Republicans and Democrats. It's not even a fight over immigration reform. This is a fight over whether this branch of government will ever find the courage to stand up for itself. The same document. The same document that this and all presidents swears to defend gives this body certain tools. Tools like the power of the purse. And it's about damn time we use that tool.
Well, that's Representative Trey Gowdy getting fired up, saying it's about time they use the tool of the power of the purse given to the House of Representatives by the United States Constitution. It wasn't given to him by any president. It was not given it to him by Barack Obama or George Washington. It was given to them by the United States Constitution. And Trey Gowdy is saying it's time to reclaim our homeland. And that reminds me of the Hobbit movie. Those who have seen the Hobbit, and the third installment came out at Christmas, but there was a part in there where The dwarves were trying to reclaim their homeland, and they're worried about a king under the mountain. Is Barack Obama the king that's trying to become king? I don't know, but it did remind me of this clip. Take a listen to this, and then I got something special to tell you.
We have come to reclaim our homeland.
I offer you my help.
How do we know it won't betray us?
We don't. There is no king under the mountain, nor will there ever be.
Well, in that movie clip, said there's no king under the mountain, nor will there ever be. Well, there's no king in America, nor shall there ever be. And I hope Barack Obama gets that message loud and clear, because we've been talking about it here for almost 6 years since he's been in office. But I did tell you, I want to tell you something special. Number one, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're glad to have you, listeners. We are so glad that you continue to tell your friends, your neighbors about this show. We ask you to keep sending out your links. Go to our Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. And I wanted to tell you something very special. During the month of January and February, if you go to my website, you can go on the front page there, and you can order my book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And if you'll just put in that order, Rock Splitting Politics, you can let me know that you listen to Rock Splitting Politics by ordering the book in January and February. We'll get you two for the price of one. So we will gladly send you an extra book. If you order this month, January, February, go to the website, order the book, and I will send you two, because you're a listener, to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we are glad you're listening to us and our friends across the world. We told you, if you're outside the United States, you can order my book, go to Amazon and Amazon.com, look up Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and you can order right through Amazon. So, this is a year, 2015, that is going to be exciting, talking about presidential politics, and we're going to do that in a couple minutes and tell you what's going on the side of the Republican nomination. Before that, I just want to remind you that if you have not listened to our kickoff show, go back and listen to that. We kicked off the year with some predictions, and if you don't know what the term Shemitah means, you better go back and listen to that show. How about Four Blood Moons? We packed a lot into that show, and it's a little different from what we usually do, but that's the first show of the year. And if you didn't hear the end of the year show, it sort of wrapped up 2014. Go back and listen to that in the archives. That's one thing I do like about webtalkradio.net. They do a good job of putting everything in the archives, so you can go back and listen and hear the shows. You can see what a great job we have of sometimes helping you to understand the politics that are unfolding and giving you an insight that you can't get here, can't get anywhere else except for right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Now, presidential politics. Hold on to your hat. Well, I feel a song coming on. You got to hear this first.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes and don't you step on my blue suede shoe.
Well, that was Elvis Presley, "Don't Step on My Blue Suede Shoes." Well, the Republican nominee, whoever that is, will be in the summer of 2016 singing, "Don't You Step on My Blue Suede Shoes." But only one's going to get to sing that tune, because it'll be one person will be the Republican nominee. And there's about 25 that are gathering up the materials and gathering up the people and gathering up what it takes to put together a presidential campaign, a winning presidential campaign. And I just, when you hear that song, when it says you can knock me down and slander my name all over the place, well, we're going to hear some of that. So that song may have a lot in common with the run for the Republican nomination. So what do you need to know? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Chuck Todd was talking about not a Republican nominee, but the candidate who everybody believes is the going to be the Democratic nominee. Take a listen to what reporter Chuck Todd had to say.
Well, let's look at big picture here. What a difference this makes from 4 years ago, right? You know, two of those three guys didn't want to run. I mean, I think what it does say a larger question. A lot of Republicans obviously believe 2016 is going to be their best chance at the presidency in a long time, or they wouldn't be clamoring to try to get in. I mean, I think one of the things we don't talk about is, boy, this means a lot of Republicans look at Hillary Clinton and are not intimidated. That in itself, I think, is sort of an underwritten part of this story, of this, to me, surprise. I mean, I'm sorry, nobody a month ago thought Bush, Romney, and Christie could all be running in this race.
Chuck, right?
Well, Chuck Todd brought it together and he talked about Bush, Romney, Christie all running. Well, if you've listened to Doc Holliday very much, you know I really don't care for any of those three and what a conservative is going to do. Well, I think there's more than those three running, even though they have the ability to gather a lot of money. But yes, Jeb Bush made a lot of noise when he mentioned he's putting together an exploratory committee to run for the Republican nomination. It was like somebody jumping in a small pool and doing a cannonball and knocking half the water out. Now, there's still plenty of room in the pool, but when Jeb Bush jumped in, and nobody, he hasn't said he's going to run yet, but he made big splashes because he's had a father who's president, he's had a brother who is president, and they know how to put together a team. They do. And that's the Bush team that can be put together. And Mitt Romney said he wasn't going to run again after he got beat by Barack Obama in 2012. He'd ran in 2008, lost to John McCain for the Republican nomination, and he won the Republican nomination in 2012. And he didn't win. You know, everybody thought he had a good chance to get in there and beat Barack Obama. And some people gave different reasons why he didn't win. Whatever he needed to do, he didn't do it. And somebody asked Rand Paul a couple of things about running for the presidency. And this is what Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, had to say.
Well, if he runs to the right of Jeb Bush, he'll still be to the left of the rest of the party. So it may be a difficult spot to occupy. Look, I liked Governor Romney. I like him personally. I think he's a good person. I think he was a great businessman. But, you know, that's yesterday's news. He's tried twice. I don't really think that there is a third time out there. I think he did a lot of things right, but in the end, you got to have a bigger constituency. You got to get new people. You got to attract new people to win. And I think it's just time that probably the party's going to be looking for something fresh and new.
Now, that was Senator Rand Paul talking about Mitt Romney, saying, hey, Mitt has had his chance. He ran a tough race, but he didn't get the voters that he needed to vote for him. I mean, he had his chance in 2012, so it's time for a fresh new face, is what Senator Rand Paul was saying. And for my listeners who've been listening for a while, you know, I sat down with Rand Paul in 2013 with a group, and we were looking and seeking out some new faces, new ideas for the Republican Party, and Rand Paul was providing that for us. And he has reached out to the African-American community, to the Hispanic community, to the young people. And those who know his father, Rand Paul, had a large following of young people for his libertarian ideas. Now, Rand Paul is not as much a libertarian, but he still has a big streak of that in him. And it may find that tough sailing with the foreign policy of the Republican Party. We'll have to wait and see how he brings these ideas together if he decides to run, which I'm almost guaranteeing you he's going to run for the office of the presidency of the United States. I could be wrong, because there is a little political pull in the state of Kentucky where the Democrats are not allowing a law to get through, because right now there's a law in the state of Kentucky that you cannot run for the United States Senate, which he will be up for re-election, and you cannot run for the Senate and the presidency at the same time. So the Democrats in Kentucky have a way of putting some strings on Senator Rand Paul and what his future may be. Interesting, but and Rand Paul had a little more to say. Let's listen to what he had to say, and then I got something to tell you about another presidential candidate who has hired a consultant, and Rand Paul was one of the he hired a consultant when he's trying to look for the top talent, and he has hired one, and one other president, possible presidential contender, has hired a consultant, and I got to talk with that consultant for about an hour a year ago. Didn't know he's going to be hired for this candidate, but I'll talk about that as soon as you hear Rand Paul finish up.
Do you think that you can raise the kind of money it'll take to run against Hillary Clinton?
I think people will donate to someone who they think can win, and winning means bringing new people to the party. So that means that we need African Americans in our party, more African Americans, we need more Hispanics, we need more young people, more women. So there's all these things that I think can be brought to the table, but really you have to have new ideas and you have to have something new to say. If we say the same old thing with the same old candidates, we'll get the same old result. So I would say that some of the ideas that I have been talking about, I think, do attract new people to the party. I've been talking about criminal justice. I've been talking about having a foreign policy that's reasonable. I've been talking about trying to be more inclusive as a party. So I think a lot of those things are helping to grow the party.
And I do think Senator Rand Paul is reaching out and trying to grow the party, and this could be helpful for him in the primaries. So it is interesting to see how things are shaping up, and as the press tries to make it a play between Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney, and Chris Christie, they're leaving out a lot of people. And one person that could make a run for the presidency is none other than the governor of Wisconsin, Mr. Scott Walker. Now, Governor Walker has hired a consultant, one of the top Republican consultants that worked high up in the Romney campaign, the Republican National Committee, and that is Rick Wiley. Now, about a year ago in January, and some of you may remember, you can go back and listen to my shows back then in the archives, and we had an exclusive interview with the president of the National Organization of Marriage, Brian Brown, and he gave us some exclusive insight on the IRS and how they had made a criminal act by disclosing information that was illegal. And they were sued. The IRS was sued by the National Organization for Marriage, but won last summer. But that's when I was out there in San Diego. I got to meet with Brian Brown and others, but Rick Wiley was there. So I had some time to actually go out walking. I saw Rick was about to go walk and get some exercise, and I asked if I could walk along with him, and so I did, down the shoreline of San Diego, and we got to discuss a lot about politics. I got to pick his brain some on the inside and some of the races that were coming up in 2014, including the wild Mississippi Senate race. So Rick Wiley is one of those people who just lives politics and he knows politics. He's one of the top consultants, and Scott Walker has wrapped him up in his corner. He's hired him as a consultant for a possible presidential campaign, and he knows how to get top talent. So Doc Holliday had a little insight on Rick Wiley's brain and how it functions. As I talked with him, and I do want to say that the politics are heating up, and how are they going to jockey around and talk down and bring about the actual race, I don't know. But this is what will be best for America. And Doc Holliday saying it right here, January 2015, what will be best for America and will embolden the voters to want to see a Republican in the White House is a very honest and open primary, as ideas are put out there. And ideas are not put out to ruin somebody's reputation. Look for those who are bold. Look for those who are not afraid to put out an idea that may be a little bit raw, but let it be molded into what we need for America. Let the Republicans have a decisive debate. Let them put out new ideas that we've never even heard of. Let's put some fresh meat on the bones of the Republican Party. That's what conservatives want to hear. And let's not demagogue somebody because they had the audacity to be bold. And they may bring out an idea that may not really be the exact thing we need, but it may rock the boat enough to say, hey, we can tie it to this idea over here and we can make something work. And that's why the Democrats can get beat, because they have old ideas. And if Hillary Clinton is the nominee of the Democratic Party, she's like the whole entire party. They're getting long in tooth, what the Bible would say. As dentists know, you see somebody long in tooth, there's something diseased making that long in tooth. But we won't go there with Hillary personally, but I'm just saying that the Democratic Party, if they nominate somebody that's almost 70 years old, then a fresh face with new ideas based on a party with strong conservative background is going to be a winner in 2016. But we got to find a candidate that can express those ideas and can get the message to the American people in a pragmatic way that will enthuse the voters and get people to come out from all walks of life, from either party. And that's the kind of candidate that will win in 2016. So continue to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Continue to tell your friends and neighbors. And what you know that others are just finding out is you're going to hear things here that you don't hear anywhere else. And we talk about rock splitting politics. We talk about what makes this country tick. I can tell you that I am glad that I can work with you, you and me, working together and being a part of molding this nation, putting us together, hearing ideas, and working to make America more free, more perfect, and going toward freedom. And ladies and gentlemen, the last 6 years, we've been losing freedom, religious freedom. We've lost our ability to not have to pay insurance for health care just because we breathe. There are things about liberty that we are losing as Americans, and we can get them back. Just like we said earlier, just like when Trey Gowdy was talking, and I played that clip from The Hobbit, it's time to reclaim our homeland. So let's go do it. Next week, we'll bring you some more about rock-splitting politics and what the Republicans in control of the House and Senate are doing. We're going to continue on talking some about the economy. Very important. What we've been told for months and months about how good our economy is might not be as good. We may have been being pumped up with things and statistics that are not fully understood. Talking about that more next week, and I'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.